Troublesome waters, much blacker than night, are hiding from view the harbor's bright light. Tossed in the turmoil of life's stormy sea, I cried to my Savior, have mercy on me. Then gently I'm feeling the touch of His hand, guiding my boat and safely to land, leading the way to heaven's bright shore. Troublesome waters, I'm fearing no more.
Welcome to the Watchman Weekly. I'm Bob Garrity. I'm joined with Bill Johnson and Chris Ardern. The Watchman Weekly can be found at watchmanweekly.com. Good evening, Bill. Good evening, Chris.
Hello, guys.
Hello. How are you gentlemen doing this evening?
I'm doing well.
Doing very good, Bill. Good. Very good.
Good. Me too.
A little too much information.
Too much, you're right.
It's so much information.
I've been buried in Daniel.
It's so hard to get a hold of it all. I just feel like these studies are, you know, they're just a way to get it out. And then, you know, then you can kind of take a deep breath. But while it's all still inside of you, it's just so much to carry. But it's awesome. It's a privilege. And I'm just really grateful.
Amen.
Amen.
Audience, tonight we're going to continue on with Joel Chapter 2 after current events. We have just a couple of small studies after current events, and we'll begin. Chris, what do you have?
Well, you know, I'm watching this economy. I'm really of the mind that they've pulled the plug on the iron lung. I think they're letting this thing go. I really do. It's, you know, it's so hard to know for sure, but it really seems like their last gathering of whatever capital is left out there I really above the mind that they've stopped funding the plunge protection team, and I think they're just going to let this Wall Street, you know, hoax run its course. I see so much. I've just had some real insight, I think, into what they're doing with Ron Paul, and they are clearly well. I know one thing too. I think the Huffington Post had an article about the Fed. You know, mainstream is talking about the Feds being crooks, criminals, stole trillions. You know, I think the number was $1.2 trillion that they literally said bankers helping their buddies out kind of thing. You can see them clearly, you know, demonizing the Fed. And, I mean, Bill picked up on this months ago.
I've always said they're going to use the bankers for the fall guys because the bankers are the front guys. People don't understand who's behind the London Bank, who is the London Bank, who the stockholders of the London Bank are. And as long as you're never going to learn this from Bob Chapman. You're not going to learn it from Alex Jones. You're not going to learn it from none of these people out there. These guys are all front guys, and it's going to get like the Maltese Falcon, you know, where Sidney Greenstreet, he talks, his woman was like a son to me. You know, but he was put him up for sacrifice anyway. That's what I think they're going to do with the bankers.
Because they got Ron Paul out there. And, you know, they're hiding him, whatever they're doing. I know it's all a game, you know, but you've got the Christian right rallying for this guy. And then at the same time, you know, they've got all kinds of, you know, trash on Rick Perry. Don't know what they're doing with him. But he's the guy that's got the Christian right rally behind him. Mm-hmm. You know, the Dominionists, the Zionists, the Joel's Army, those guys, all the Rick Joyner, Peter C. Wagner crowd. You know, they were all part of that deal that he had in Texas 2 weeks ago. And I can't think of the name of that. What was that
Peter
thing called?
Peter Wagner, there's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of them for sure. You know, he's right in there with the church growth thing. You know, the whole running the business like a running the church like a corporation mentality. You know, this is what they've brought to the table over the last 20 years. Like we were talking tonight, you know, there's no way that Satan could have gotten this stuff through, you know, 30 years ago. But now he can. Now he can get, an apostate religious movement calling itself Joel's Army.
That's right. That is very significant just in itself. Christians would not have joined on to that. They wouldn't have had any followers of any kind, even 20 years ago, like you say. That's evil coming out now and just saying, we're evil, but we're good.
Yeah.
It's not even have to be subtle anymore. Doesn't have to. Yeah. It's just
because these guys that talk with lips as smooth as butter, like we talked about last week, say so. So they're so nice. They must be right.
That's right. They've been right in the past.
And here we are for sure.
They can't pull this whole thing off and switch over. However they decide to do it, all I know is one thing that I do know: they cannot do it without a fall guy. And the only fall guy that I can see is the bankers. I can't see anyone else.
Yeah, and this hero of the day is Ron Paul. And, you know, Ron Paul has never done a thing. All he's done is brought out these bill after bill. You know, he came out of Reagan, right? He was part of Reagan.
He was in the early 80s. Reagan campaigned and pushed for him in
Texas. Absolutely a provocateur. And, you know, he'll probably just fade away into the sunset. But brought these issues out to the fore, and people are mad. I mean, and that's what they're doing. They're giving people, they're giving the people the new enemy. I mean, it's like the bankers are the new Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
You know? Not really. I mean,
In the economic war realm, yes.
In the economic war, yeah. But then on the terrorist front, Obama's saying that our real threat is the lone wolf. That's the new buzzword there. He's got us looking around a corner for the lone wolf. You know, that's because I'm telling you right now, this field is very ripe for a false flag. I am absolutely of the mind this thing is coming unglued. This is it. I really, and it's going to take some time, and it's going gangbusters right now. You know, I'm in the, you know, working in construction business in Cleveland, Ohio, and there's a lot of work out there. They're busy, but you know, like Bob said, it's not the, you know, he talked to his friend. It's not the businesses. It's the banks, and we're gonna see, you know, what plays out here. But I think this thing's coming down. I think it's coming down, and the entitlements, you know, they're starting to mess with the entitlements. I saw people on a video, you know, they not getting their food stamps and. They're entitled to those food stamps, and you better. I can't feed my babies. And this was just a little one. I think it was Atlanta where they had something go wrong. You know, they were just testing the waters. But there's definitely, you know, Ron Paul saying right out in the open that the government's getting ready for violence. That's out there right now, and then you're also seeing a ton of stuff about the Knights of Malta and their involvement in the Middle East. I mean. The Knights of Malta have been very secretive, and I'll tell you what, I had a hunch. I would not doubt if Netanyahu is a Knights of Malta. His mentor is Henry Kissinger, and you know this is what's going on in the Middle East, and I just can't stand it when somebody says, "Oh, we have to stop funding these foreign wars." Are you kidding me? I mean, this is what they're, you know, you're not going to stop these, you know, you're not going to stop Satan. As he carries out God's agenda, you know, these guys are about, you know, controlling the Middle East. It's the modern crusades. They are about, you know, setting up the harlot fleshly religious system from Jerusalem.
They had to establish themselves over there. They did a big way that they did it was in 1973, and this was, you know, you talk about Knights of Malta, Henry Kissinger. They had to create the oil crisis, and, you know, the gasoline prices went way up, and you had to stand in line over. So this is a, like a, you know, a, what do they call it, a cause, oh, I can't think of the three.
What, cause and effect, or no?
Yeah, but there's a three-step process. Cause,
problem, reaction, solution.
Yeah, right, problems, reaction, solution. So they set up this phony oil shortage thing. First of all, they set it up for you through Darwinism to start with, telling you that your oil comes from dinosaurs. I mean, it's just,
yeah, right.
That's stupider than
stupid. Can you even believe that?
And people believe that. And there's only so many dinosaurs, and they gave their life for you to have oil, and so we got to protect. You know, anyway, it's all nonsense. Texas and Oklahoma and Wyoming, they're full of oil. But to get your foot in the Middle East, they had to have a reason. So they set up the OPEC. They create the gasoline shortage and the oil, or the high prices in gas, the waiting in lines. This is the problem. So our solution is, oh, we're going to set this up in the Middle East and OPEC, and we're going to have the Shah actually agreed to give them all the oil they wanted. So they had to get rid of him. He was going to give it to them for nothing practically. And so, you know, they had to get rid of the Shah. And I'm not saying the Shah was a good guy, but this was their whole, how they got a foothold lock. Obviously, we know 1947 in the UN and the setting up of the nation state of Israel, along with all the other, used to be just called, you looked at a map and watched the movie of Casablanca, right in the beginning, they show the map. It's all Arabia. You know, the movie was made, what, 1939 or something, or 40? So they, that was their first move in 47, setting all this stuff up, you know, through the UN and those countries over there. And then the next big step was they had to have a reason to take a foothold over there, so they create an oil shortage, and all of that was just fabricated, so they can get the Ten Kings and oil sisters over there, whatever you want to call them, in the Middle East.
Right.
And this gives them a reason to establish a foothold and be in the Middle East, and obviously it's progressed ever since then.
And here we are now, and I really think they're going to do it again. I think they're gonna cut off the oil.
Well, yeah, I'm already right. They'll be in the Middle East forever. You know, whenever ends here on Earth, whenever they'll, you know, they're never.
But they have to control the price of the oil, and then they want to tap our oil, but they want the prices up where they want them. But the I'm telling you, I'm absolutely seeing past this whole thing. I'm seeing, because I'll tell you what's coming. You know, and I've been really getting a vision for where all this is headed. And the only thing I don't know is how bad the collapse will be and how bad the depression will be. But I can see the phoenix rising out of the ashes. I can see what's going to happen is, you know, this fomented war between the Muslims and the Christians is going to result in the Christians winning. You know, they're going to take down Israel and America, and we're going to survive. And out of the ashes, the phoenix, it's the whole beast, deadly wound cycle. And out of that is going to be this Judeo-Christian, Antichrist, one world religion centered in Jerusalem. You know, the Pope's right in there with all these Knights of Malta, you know, Protestant, you know, masses all rallied around this new, you know, Rick Warren, UN Peace Initiative religion that finally won. And, you know, it's probably going to be, you know, there's going to be some semblance of order.
Right. Islam will finally submit to that, I believe, too.
What's that?
I believe in with that time what you're speaking of, however far in the future that is, I believe Islam will be submitted into that as well, what's left of it.
Yeah, they'll be crushed, and they'll be melded into that. Yeah. But you can see what's coming now is, what's going to happen is, there's going to be some kind of a false flag, some event in America, and I guarantee it's going to be tied right into Israel, and they're going to, you know, blame it on the way Obama's not supporting Israel, and the Christians are going to say America was, you know, under judgment because they don't support Israel, blah blah blah, all that nonsense. Somehow, some way, that's the scenario that's going to play out here.
Right.
And then it's going to be, you know, as we. You know, the Christian right comes back in, you know, possibly as a dictatorship type thing. I mean, I could see that, you know, I really see this pale horse cycle, you know, the whose rider is death and hell is right now, you know, with Obama on the horse. You
actually,
know, I can't.
You know, this what you're describing here was actually in 150 years ago in a smaller template blueprint.
Yeah,
it's the same thing took place in the Civil War.
Yeah,
the South was winning the war. Matter of fact, you know, if it wasn't for the blunder at Gettysburg, which, you know, Gordon Comstock, I think, and Visigoth both have realized that these aren't blunders. They're not military blunders.
No.
Then it shifts sides. See, miraculously now the North is now winning the war after Gettysburg. Same thing actually took place in World War II at Dunkirk. You know, military blunder at Dunkirk. And prior to that, you know, Germany and Japan were winning World War II, and and then all of a sudden some kind of military blunder comes along, and I look for to happen, that same scenario this time.
Yeah. Oh.
Waterloo was another one even.
Well, my vote is for our Lord Jesus Christ.
There you go. Amen.
Yeah.
And the
we just have to say a few things about these current events, as brutal as they are. But I'll tell you one thing is for sure: there's not much in the scripture about the political agenda. I mean, it's about the Lord's agenda. You know, how much do we see in scripture about the political inner workings of the governments? Not much.
Gave a perfect synopsis of Babylon.
Yeah.
Okay. This is.
Right, who did Jesus basically address his time to more than anything when he was ridiculing? The Pharisees.
And they're in bed with whoever the powers
may
be.
They're all
but ultimately,
they're all in bed, right.
And we're not talking the inner chambers audience. We're talking heathen.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, we know no man's heart. We don't know who's circumcised. We study ourselves approved to do the will of the Father.
Absolutely.
And you can see from just the short discourse we had on current events that it's all bad. Now, we preach Jesus Christ, Him crucified. And anybody else that preaches anything else is the diminished works of Christ, is Antichrist. And the scriptures reveal that the Babylonian kingdom we just discussed have changed the ordinances. They've diminished the word. And there's a famine on the land. But the good news is our Lord Jesus Christ tells you what to do. Luke 21:36, watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And when we talk about pray, it is a middle voice. It's to beg, that is petition, beseech, pray, make request. And this is very important, audience, because the current events are not good. They haven't been good for a year since we've been on. It's been a slow decline in all facets of life. Ending with current events now, where we have two of the largest catastrophes ever in the history of mankind, the Gulf of Mexico, which just is in the news now because it's still leaking and it probably never stopped leaking, and the Fukushima is in China syndrome with the powers that be are not giving radiation readings for the West Coast. So our prayers are with all of you under these circumstances. But it is up to you, audience, to petition the Lord. And petition is corresponding is to seek, to ask, to desire, to make petition, to pray, to request. And you'll find this very interesting, audience. Psalms 25, we will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners, the Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now, if you're in covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ, you've repented of your sins, you study yourself approved, This is the scripture that's telling you could petition the Lord on these things that are on your heart. And the Holy Spirit will answer for them. Matthew 6:7. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, but for they that they shall be heard from their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask. And that's true, audience. He knows every hair on your head. But these petitions are spiritual petitions. They're scriptural petitions, that you have the proper rendering of his word, and that you be not deceived. We're told throughout the scriptures that you will be deceived, even the very elect could be deceived, then you have to see the aspect of the great falling away of the apostate churches and how far advanced this is if the world is focused on Babylon and no one's focused on Jesus Christ and no one knows how to petition the Lord. And no one is in covenant with him. That fulfills the scripture of preaching Jesus Christ in this gospel, him crucified, is foolishness to anybody. It's not in Christ. Bill?
Absolutely, yeah. It says the natural man discerneth not the things of God, for they are foolishness unto him. And that's how they consider it, is foolishness.
So, in essence, the current events are a reflection of our societies and our world. And on a global basis, there is wars and rumors of wars. But in the spiritual aspect of scriptures being revealed of Revelation, the spiritual war for your soul is so far along that most of society, if not all of society, is blind to it. Because the armies of the north have been unleashed. And Babylon is our current events is Babylon. And we ask you, audience, if you're a new member, don't worry if we're saying the church is Babylon, or spiritual Egypt, you know, or the world is Babylon. You just point out to your studying yourself to prove that come out of her is the world. Come unto me is Jesus Christ, and you will see these things. There's no other way.
No, there is no other way. The flesh eyes will never see them. You know, I might like to make a comment, Chris. Real quickly, as we were on the world history and stuff there, they did the same thing with Hannibal. They built Carthage up. They got them angry. Hannibal was, you know, made that great move. He could have went in and crushed Rome, you know, and all of a sudden it's a military blunder because Hannibal is 150 years before Christ. It's because Rome was set up to be the world beast kingdom at that time. It was already, you know, there was no way that Hannibal was going to be successful. You know, there's another military blunder that they speak about.
Huh.
And this thing just plays over and over.
It does.
And all we hear are lies. And when we preach the truth, you have to be sober about this. Zephaniah 3:13. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Now, if you're understanding these situations, audience, on a fleshly basis, this is very, very disheartening. It's our future is in jeopardy because of the serpents and the scorpions, because of the money changers that have taken the little old lady or the little old man's pensions and bought their things of flesh. But this was all foretold. And it doesn't tell you the economic things. It just tells you that sin will just go wild. And it has. Chris?
Yeah, the bottomless pit's been opened up. The the locusts have been released. And, you know, these are exactly what you're talking about, Bob, the lies. And we saw the, you know, last week we touched upon Psalms 55:21 from the Spiritual Bible Studies group. You know, that was just so profound. I mean, I'm going to read it again. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. You know, his words are drawn swords. You know, this is the thing. This is, we're talking, folks, about the Gog-Magog war. It's raging right now, today, in your corner church. And it's a war that's fought with words. It's fought with lies and truth.
And it's kingdom against kingdom, as Jesus said in Matthew 24, kingdom against kingdom.
And we're seeing the destruction of Babylon. And there's no better account of that than you're going to find in Jeremiah 50 and 51. Jeremiah 51:17, every man is brutish by his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image. For his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. I mean, this is the thing that people are holding on to. And as we've gone through Joel chapter 1, beginning of chapter 2, you know, we see the description of the masses today. This is what this is talking about. And these people they're confounded by their graven images, and they're going to continue to be more confounded until they realize. And this is the process that's going to be before us. Because things continue to come unglued, and these people that are trusting in these characters like Rick Perry, whose words are, you know, smoother than butter. You know, this guy's got all the Christian lingo down. This guy's a no good son of a gun.
Yeah.
You know, that's all I'm going to say. This guy is bad news, and he's got the Christian right, you know, deceived right now. I don't know what's going to come of it, you know, if he'll get exposed or whatever. You know, this affection that these people are putting on these men, and, you know, they're promising them the restoration of the republic, you know, to return to the days of Leave It to Beaver, whatever. And I'm sorry, but these are all molten images. They're falsehoods. These are lies that people are trusting in, and because this is not the solution. And if these people knew their scriptures, they would know differently. They would know that God's kingdom is not of this world. These people are looking for an earthly kingdom. They're looking for an earthly king, just like at the time of Christ. It's identical. It's the same
scenario. And I still think this mentality comes around. I still believe the core center thing of this is the misunderstanding of the millennial reign.
Well, let's talk about that.
That's what builds upon it. I really feel a lot of that has been built upon.
Amen. And people are looking for that.
You know, that woman that wrote Union Jack pointed this out.
Yeah. She was really, got a load of insight.
She had a lot of insight, right.
You see, audience, the doctrines of demons that are out there when we first started, we were looking at very fleshly aspects of what's going on, and you would say is, I think we used the term spiritual manifestation. And we identified the Gulf of Mexico as the pit of hell. And as we carried on in our studies, every week we did a show on the churches. And we covered all the major movements of the churches, and we're telling, come out of her, the harlot church, and come unto our Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll find in that progression that this original premise is transcended to just scriptural. There is no outside looking. We study the scriptures, and the scriptures tell this remarkable tale of revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when you look at the deception and you have been taught for, you know, 30, 40 years that there's going to be a millennial reign, and that was taught from the Scofield Bibles, and you put it in the context of scripture upon scripture from Genesis to Revelation, and find out that the 1,000 is a spiritual number, And the scriptures reveal that when our Lord comes back, it's great white throne judgment time. It's not a reign with him. If you're believing them, you have time to get prepared and then live with our Lord Jesus Christ. But our Lord Jesus Christ says, come out of her, come unto me, because he's ruling and reigning now. And what's happening to the outside world is Revelation 17:17. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and to give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. That's right now.
That's what we have right now. And we're talking about the fifth trumpet here, the opening of the bottomless pit. Satan is loosed. Satan was bound. And we see that the thing that has kept Satan bound is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he was bound at the cross, possibly when Jesus began his ministry in the temple, when he read from Isaiah and said, today in your hearing the scripture is fulfilled. Satan has been deceiving from prison. He's been like Al Capone. But due to the fact that the gospel, the pure gospel message, what we refer to as this gospel, it says we have to consider context all the time. We can't emphasize that enough. In Matthew chapter 24, when this gospel of the kingdom is preached through all the world, then the end will come. Not some fictitious millennial kingdom, not some cunningly devised fable, but then the end will come. And this is what the Lord is telling us. When the pure gospel is preached throughout the world at the time of apostasy, during the time of the end, during the time of the tribulation, which is where we see the context of that command. This is where we are right now. And we see that Satan has been loosed. He is deceiving the nations again. This is what it refers to, that he's been deceiving the nations before the cross. When we see the accounts of evil in the Old Testament, before the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, it was different then. The manifestation of demons and things like that, that we, during the church age, Satan certainly had his way, but he was restrained. He was restrained by the gospel. But now, over the last 50, 60 years, the gospel has been slowly but surely corrupted. The covenant has been corrupted with flatteries, as we see in, what we just read in Psalms, with these false prophet preachers, preaching with words that are smoother than butter. And because of this, the gospel of Revelation has been transformed into a social gospel, a gospel message of, you're covered under the grace of Jesus Christ, everything's good, you made a commitment when you were a kid, come on in, come on to the potluck, come in and, join us for worship service. We've got, some rock and roll going on, and it's just, it's going to be very relevant to your world. I mean, this is the buzzword in the Christian evangelical circles, making Jesus relevant. Well, I'm sorry, they didn't spend too much time making Jesus relevant in the Old Testament. I mean, in during the time of Jesus Christ, when he walked this earth. I think Leonard Ravenhill said that Jesus preached the way that they preach today, they wouldn't have killed him. This is the problem. The gospel is about one thing. It's about separating. It's about separating out God's flock. And, this is the dynamic that we see taking place in Joel, is these people that Bob just said, who God has put in their hearts to fulfill his will. Revelation 17:17. This is what we're seeing here. And we're seeing it playing out in real time, in absolute real time. And with these signatures the Lord's giving us, these dominionists are preaching a seven mountain theology, where they're going to take back control of the world for Jesus and hand him the world on a platter. And, we look in Scripture and we see, where do we see seven mountains? Well, we see that's where the harlot sits. What the heck is wrong with that? And then we see, you know, this group calling themselves Joel's Army. Well, you know, we've gotten halfway through the book of Joel here, and it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that the Joel's locust army out of the north is not something you really want to identify with. You know, this is who the Lord's given us the tools to prepare to stand up to this army of locusts, this army of deception. But this is what's happened. It's the judgment. It's the fifth trumpet judgment. The judgment is the deception. The Lord has allowed. He's allowed the gospel to be diminished. He's allowed the you know, the lies to control the world. And this is how God is separating out His flock, because, you know, we saw back in Jeremiah how His remnant is will separate, you know, shepherd from flock, man from woman. It's brutal, but this is what this end time harvest is about. It's about separation, and it's about you know, finding yourself abiding in Christ in the truth, so that you hear His voice and you're not deceived, because that's the key. You have to walk in Christ, be in Christ, be in His yoke, and He protects His flock. His flock hear, His sheep hear His voice, and His sheep are not deceived.
Let me interject this, Chris. That the,
go ahead. I'm done, Bob.
I just wanted to, so there's a synopsis, audience. Okay, it's Jesus Christ, and it's them.
Them.
Okay, and there's no in between. There's a fixed chasm. In the book of Revelation, in terms of using the sword, the axe, the tool, the metaphor, the examples, these are the lying words of them against the gospel. Because them has changed the ordinances. Them has changed the times. And them is led by the dragon Satan. And it's your responsibility to enter into covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ. No man can preach this gospel. This time is so dark spiritually that you look at Revelation and you can only come to the conclusion of the little season. And that's not thus saith the Lord. And you will never hear this, the three of us, ever preach a time. But I say to you, get your house in order today. Seek ye Him, Jesus Christ. Enter into covenant, petition, pray. Open your heart. He knows every hair on your head, every capillary, every cell. And He forgives your sins because you seek Him. But there's another side to them. And them has great wrath coming upon. Now, on a fleshly basis, you don't know if you're going to suffer economic hardship, if there's going to be actual wars. It doesn't matter because you're standing in the holy place now. Your house is in order now. Our Lord Jesus Christ is your King and ruler. And when they ask you, who, you know, are you a Jew or a Gentile? You're a spiritual Jew of a circumcised heart that is the Israel of God. And they're not. And if it's the Lord's will, they will be. But as far as the gospel is revealing, these truths are totally fulfilled. They're totally fulfilled in your corner church. At the Pope's church, he's a good example. But everyone around you is not seeing this. And only our Lord Jesus Christ will reveal this. Bill?
Amen. That's been the very first time the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven is ever mentioned in the Bible is when one came crying in the wilderness. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. I mean, that's the first mention in the entire Bible of the kingdom of God. It uses the phrase kingdom of heaven, I believe. And, you know, that's it now. It's the same message. Same message as it was then. It's repent and seek the Lord. That's been the message all along.
And your example audience can be found in Joshua 1:9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goest. Follow the Lamb wherever thou goest. This is scriptural. As you're following the Lamb, we're out in the wilderness. Babylon's behind you. Don't look back. That's Lot's wife, a pillar of salt. Because if you're focused on him and you're fastened on him, you need to enter into covenant, repent of your sins, and be his holy vessel.
Amen.
You don't have to donate any money. You don't have to buy the DVD. You don't have to listen to anybody else. It's right. It's free. It's just buy a King James Version Bible and study it. Use Eastward. Use any medium you can to read the Gospels. And he will prick your ears. And he will circumcise your heart. And we can say, gentlemen, together, that don't listen to any man.
Amen.
Amen.
And we're doing.
I mean, you know, don't trust anything you hear from any man.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Always search Berean. Scripture. Be a good Berean and see if it was so that what you heard was the truth, because the Lord will confirm in your heart if you're born again, if you're walking in covenant with Him, if you're obedient, if you are standing in your heritage as the Israel of God. You will hear the Lord's voice.
And Joel is the best study for this,
for the
end time revelation, because once you have the identity that you're in spiritual Babylon, that the churches are likened unto being under Pharaoh's rule in Egypt in idol worship, and you come out of that mindset because of your repentance, you change the way you think about things or how you've been taught, and you seek ye him, and he will send the comforter to you. And you will find yourselves the proper rendering of scripture. We'll start out with Joel 2:12.
Perfect.
Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. And rend your heart, not your garments, and turn the Lord your God. He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil, who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people that sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priest and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should run over them. Chris?
Amen. Yeah, I mean, see, this is the thing, folks. We don't want to sound like doomtards here. We don't want to sound like doom and gloom negative, because right here in Joel chapter 2, it starts getting good. I mean, it starts turning around here for God's people, for the multitude, for the apostate, those who have forsaken their the covenant, who have forsaken their heritage, who we described in chapter 1. And here we're seeing now, up to this point, it's been the locusts who have eaten all the essentially it's metaphoric for the truth. The truth has been wiped out by these vessels of wrath that the Lord has allowed to come upon his church from within his very church. As we see these serpents and scorpion, the army from the north, identities coming out of the church. This is the Lord's strange act, the work that the Lord, told Habakkuk about, that he said, if I were to tell you, you wouldn't believe it. Well, this is it. And, you know, you can believe it because the Lord is bringing understanding out on this right now. And we see in verse 12, through 16, 17, that, Joel is saying, repent. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, great kindness. This is the Lord we know, and repenteth him of evil. See, but you can't know this Lord without knowing the other side. You know, it says, behold the goodness and severity of God. You know, and those who continue in covenant, abide in him. And those who, make lies their refuge are cut off. You know, this is the Lord. The Lord is slow to anger, but he does get angry. And, you know, he absolutely judges his people who forsake their standing as Israel, the Israel of God, the covenant people of the Lord Jesus, of the Lord. And, this is what we're seeing here in this description in Joel chapter 2. We're going to, just do an overview here because this is leading up to the meat of the study tonight. But this is all repentance. This is all hope. The Lord will remove the northern army and restore what the locusts have eaten. And this is what we're seeing described here.
And
good news.
And also, audience, when you reflect back on the scriptures, on our current events, this was also foretold in Jeremiah 51. In their heat I will make their feast, and I will make them drunken, that they may rejoice and sleep a perpetual sleep, and not wake, saith the Lord. And I will make drunk her princes and her wise men, her captains and her rulers, and her mighty men, and they shall sleep a perpetual sleep, and not wake, saith the King, whose name is the Lord of hosts. And the current events we had today is just a reflection of Scripture. The princes and the governors that people see in the news. But on a grander effect, it's the people that are your neighbors and your loved ones. And they're so close to you, and you try to preach this gospel, and it's in your heart. But you are the light of the Lord. Not only do you preach this gospel, you walk this gospel. You serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's His, He is the potter, you are the clay. And you have to endure this soberly. Because all of this is meant of the Lord. And you never want to hear, I knew you not. And you never want to be standing outside wherewith. You always want to be standing with our Lord Jesus Christ. Petition the Lord for this. Repent of your sins. Bill?
Amen. Actually, here what you, Chris, were just discussing in Jeremiah 12, 13, or 2, or 12 through like 17 there. This is good news. This is where Isaiah chapter 28, where Ephraim exchanges his crown of pride for a crown of glory, and that's actually what's going to happen. They're wearing a crown of pride.
This is all good news, audience. This is all good news. This was all meant to happen. It just in the flesh, it is absolutely hard to reconcile these events as they keep getting progressively worse, because all you're in perpetual darkness. I only say that because wouldn't you want all your loved ones to come to enter into covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ, be with the Creator, our God, to really know Him, to really love Him. But what we have is the revelation telling us that's not the case of what's going on right now. The case of what's going on right now is that man is running the show and Satan is ruling over them. And them is such a bad thing that them will never see this. They will be in perpetual sleep. They will never wake up. They never die to the flesh.
You have to die to the flesh, right? That's something that's not taught today. Certainly not in the church.
No.
You know, Chris, you were reading from the, I think it was Jeremiah 50 or 51 about their gods having no breath in them.
Yeah.
These images. This is where they've given up their heritage for these gods that have no breath in them. You know, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So these are gods that are not, they have no life.
They have no life.
The breath that he spent, the life, the breath that he breathed on his disciples was the Holy Ghost. That's, you know, that's what he sends and he breathes into you is, you know, the Holy Ghost. And, that's life. These false gods, there is no Holy Ghost. There is no Holy Spirit there.
And we have an example, current events that wasn't mentioned. We have the radio show host, the Fox News commentator, Glenn Beck, who is followed by millions of people. And he is now on his second trip to fleshly Israel
really?
To promote the Zionist agenda. And audience, this is, if you're in Israel and you preach Jesus Christ, you're locked up. And the Mormon church is just another apostate church with doctrines of demons. But it shows you on a level of your worldly events, another level of deception, where they follow the flesh and not the spiritual.
Yeah, this is an example of what we just read in 17. O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. And, you know, this is so ironic here because, for one thing, this is exactly what they're doing, giving their heritage to reproach. This is what all, you know, fleshly-minded Christians are doing. They've forsaken their covenant, their heritage, their covenant relationship with the Lord. And this is why the heathen are ruling over them, the Gentiles. Ironically, because
exactly
the unsaved
right.
are the Gentiles. They're the ones in the flesh.
That's exactly
right. And this is exactly, it's the heathen, the Gentile, the nations. And this is what Satan did, you know, pre-cross. He had the nations deceived. And this is what it says when he was bound. But then after he was bound, he was... are we okay? I just had Skype freak out here.
You're good.
No, but he had, you know, when Satan was bound at the cross, you know, this is a reference to not being able to deceive the nations, but now he, as Satan has been unbound, you know, loosed from his prison, the opening of the bottomless pit, this is how the heathens are ruling over us again.
Because they didn't keep Satan under their feet. They didn't tread on serpents. See, I'm from above and you're from below. Heaven's my throne. The earth is my footstool. So you're in covenant with Jesus Christ. You're in heaven. You're on his throne. You're ruling and reigning. And the enemy is under your feet. The apostate church did not keep Satan under their feet. So thus, he's released from the bottomless pit.
That's right, and that's exactly what's taking place here right now in Joel 2:17. But you know, there is hope. There is the portion, the residue, the remnant that does take root downward. You know, that escapes Judah.
Yes,
and we're going to see more about that as we proceed.
Joel 2:21. Fear not, O land, Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit, and the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. Chris?
Amen. Well, this is a very, very important piece of scripture and very, very misinterpreted. And this is a huge part of the apostasy that's going on right now, because this has been so twisted and misinterpreted. But, this is good news. Fear not, O land. O land, O land, that's Zion. That is, abiding in Jesus Christ, abiding exactly in the land, entering into the land. What's that, Bill?
That's exactly what it is. You got it right on the money.
And this is all twisted, all made fleshly when, we're in the spiritual promised land on Mount Zion with the Lord. So what this is referring to, not to say that it didn't work out physically in the Old Testament, but this was an example for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world have come. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, be not afraid, ye beasts of the field. See, these are the multitude. This is the multitude that the metaphor for the multitude that were being merchandised in the temple when Jesus overturned the tables. And the pastures of the wilderness, we saw earlier in Joel that they have no pastures. There's no place because these, the churches were barren. They're desolate. They bear no fruit. But here we see it being restored. Be glad, O then, children of Zion, the land that we're talking about here. It's all spiritual. It's all above. This is Jerusalem above. While everybody's got their eyes on Jerusalem below, this is talking about Jerusalem above. Rejoice, O Lord, your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately. The former rain. This former rain here is the barley of the harvest. This is the first fruits of the harvest that the Lord brings forth. This is the first fruit remnant that the Lord harvests with the truth and is spreading the truth in the apostate church. This is the first phase of the harvest. This is a reference to the word is H4175 in the Strong. An archer, also teacher, teaching, also the early rain. This is the early rain refers to as teachers. Those who understand among the people will instruct many. It says in Daniel, I will do nothing, but I reveal my secret to my servants, the prophets. This is what this is talking about. This is who this is. He will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And here we see clearly the latter rain as the signature of the wheat, those that the former rain teach. As this is the people that we're seeing described in Joel here, that remember their heritage, that give not their heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. These are the ones that wake up. This is the waking of the multitude. This is what this is describing. The former and the latter rain is describing the waking of the multitude. This is the wheat harvest. And, this is what this is describing right here.
Now, we can give a Pentecostal, a recapitulation, Chris?
Well, yeah, this is, leading up to what Peter had prophesied in Acts about this event, when the Lord poured out his spirit. And, that Peter did not, refer to that scripture But you know, this is I do know that there's a signature there about, you know, on a big scale about the Holy Spirit being poured out at Pentecost, you know, at the time of Christ, and then you know, Holy Spirit being poured out again in the latter days. But that is really not exactly what this is teaching here. This is teaching, you know, in that day, you know, in the last days, that the Holy Spirit will be poured out, and in two phases. These are clearly the two identities we see today. We see God's remnant elect that have come out of the church, come out. These are the people that are out of the harlot system now. And unfortunately, you know, we're seeing this Gog-Magog war described in previous verses about the serpents and scorpions, the Joel's army, the army out of the north. That is the actual process, the wickedness that actually is the vehicle that the Lord uses to wake up the wheat, the latter rain. As the this is all done still with words. This is all done with truth. The Lord pours out His Spirit, and that is truth that is poured out upon the people. And I mean, I'll give you a reference in Amos chapter 7, verse 1. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto men, and behold, He formed grasshoppers in the beginning. Now here's a reference to the grasshoppers, the locusts that have eaten the truth, that have diminished the truth. And He formed the grasshoppers in the beginning of the shooting up of the latter growth. This is the reference to this. This is a picture of the serpent, I mean the locust army causing the latter growth to shoot up. And it's all metaphoric, but it's huge. It's all there. It's all right here. And we're going to have these study notes posted to the show. So I encourage everyone to to dig into this, because this is a very important piece of scripture. The latter growth, after the king's mowings, this is just a picture that the Lord gave us in Amos here, describing the former and the latter rain, the latter growth. It's only in Scripture a couple times. And in Job 24:6, he refers to the same thing. They reap everyone his corn in his field, and they gather the vintage of the wicked. And he's referring to the same thing. It's the same word that's used, H39:53, as the primitive root, to gather the aftercrop. And then 39:54 is the latter growth. It's all referring to the same thing. We've got the first part of the church wakes up, and then the second part, the multitudes that no man can number.
So these are
the multitudes in the valley of decision.
You're seeing the former and latter as being two wakings here.
Yep.
Yeah, it's 1, 2, 3. It's in the scriptures here 6 times. I'm not sure in all the context. But what it's describing is there's two there, so it has to be one of three things, and the only one it can be is two witnesses.
Yeah, well, sure it is. It's definitely a signature of that.
And this goes along with current events. That's what's amazing about this, because the earth is under the Babylonian rule of Satan, and evil is taken for good. And there's a understanding scripturally of the seed and the tares. And it describes exactly what's going on in the world today. Man's flesh in idol worship to all of their idols are not giving their Lord any glory. And that's an abomination to them.
So they're making cakes for the Queen of Heaven.
And as we proceed in this study, this Joel's army is actually manifesting and gathering on a fleshly basis. They're backing the presidential candidate. That's the NAR, isn't it, Chris?
The New Apostolic Reformation is Joel's army. That's what their signature is.
But it doesn't matter if it's that group or the other group. They're all bad. It's them. Audience is them. They are on the other side of the plumb line. Because the Lord laid a plumb line, and it's true. And it's built on the foundation, the chief cornerstone that was rejected, our chief cornerstone, our Lord Jesus Christ. And you're built into the wall as a lively stone. And all the stone analogies and parables are all telling the same thing. If you're not in the wall, you're them. You're in a fixed chasm, and it just said you will not wake up. This will all pass you by in your lifetime. And this locust army is upon the inhabitants of the earth. You don't read a headline that people have turned to our Lord Jesus Christ. You read a headline that there's war in the Middle East because the powers that be want, you know, fleshly riches and goods.
Right. Chris? You know, the former and latter rain is in three verses in the Bible. And what it actually means in those three verses, it's the triune matrix of God's restored people. It's in Jeremiah 5:24, Hosea 6:3, and Joel 2:23.
Amen. And that's what we're going to see right now in Joel 2:24. You know, in the
floor shall be full. You know, we're talking about the spiritual understanding. You know what the spiritual understanding really is in modern lingo that they've twisted so poorly is it's a sixth sense. You know, we've got our five senses. It's all flesh. Everybody's all centered around their flesh. Five senses. And that's what they're attacking constantly. But then they lead you to a false spiritual understanding by calling it a sixth sense, you know, like your sixth sense. No, really, what it is, it's your seventh sense. It's the Holy Spirit in you. That's where this truth is going to come from.
And as we continue along, audience... We're going to cross-reference some scripture and go on with Joel chapter 2. Isaiah 37:31, and the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. And continue on with Joel 2:26, and ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and I am the Lord, your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. Chris?
Yeah, could you back up two verses? We missed 23 and 4, Bob. I'd really appreciate it, because I wanted to... That's right after the...
And the floors?
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, well, the years that the locusts have eaten. I'm sorry, I got my notes mixed up.
And I will restore to
you. No, it was my mistake. I'm sorry. Now, where did you just read 26?
26 and 27, but let me go back to Joel 2:25 for comments. And I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent among you.
There you go. And then actually, yeah, in 24, the floor shall be full of wheat. And I mean, this is all about the harvest. This deception from the northern army brings about the wheat harvest. And because of this, it's the threshing floor. We've said it over and over again that this deception is the threshing floor. And I'm seeing another dimension to that is the truth being spoken into the lies is actually the threshing floor. The remnant that speaks the truth into the apostate church is what does the separation on the threshing floor. And that's what we see here in, you know, 24 and then 25. The years that, you know, this is all good news. I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. And it says all the, you know all about those different locusts, Bob. Could you expound on that a little bit? You've done some work in that area.
Just a very simple synopsis, audience, is that the locusts are so dark, they could be equated to the minions of Satan, and they speak lies. And it's the example is that a, just think of a field where a plague of locusts comes through the field and they totally destroy all of the harvest. But there's another plague, because the wind is driving this locust army. This is the whirlwind of the Lord, driving this locust army into the field and destroying all the green vegetation. And the other wave comes through and they eat the stalks. And then what's left on the ground is eaten by the worms in all various capacities, but it always goes to the root. And it kills the root. It's death. It's spiritual death, because you have no protection. You are just destroyed by lies. You're destroyed by the pride of man.
Right. The church has come in with these canker worms, caterpillars, palmer worms, and they've eaten up every green thing in the church. There's no truth left in the church. But it says here in Joel 2:25, I will restore to you the years. These are the locusts that come out of the bottomless pit. He says he's going to restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. That's pretty profound piece of scripture right there.
And here it is right here, happening in real time. Because this is, you know, this is what's taking place right now, folks. I mean, you know, this is happening. People are waking up.
Yes.
You know, we've got all of you out there that have been so, you know, supportive, and the emails and the comments, they're so exciting, because there is some real stirring going on out in the corporate church. And what it's getting down to, the organized religion, against the remnant, which is actually, you know, a manifestation of like the same thing that went on, you know, in the Dark Ages, with the Catholic Church being the mother church, and anybody who went against it was ostracized. And, you know, this is where we see this thing fomenting. You know,
that was a type and shadow. That was an earlier template for what is to come now, yes.
Yeah, we're William Tyndale's right now, yeah.
Just, we're in a bigger recapitulation of that. But make no doubt that absolutely, that's what took place, you know. Especially when they started bringing the Bible out in English.
Right.
And there's your example that, you know, with the Bible did come out, and it was read to the people, things got good. And they tried to suppress that for so long.
It spiritually got good. Did living conditions and other things improve in many ways? Yes, this was actually the real Renaissance. We were lied to in the history books by the lying teachers and the college professors, buying the lying Hitler Channel, and buying all of the major publishing companies, that the Renaissance period was this wonderful pedophile, I won't say
enlightenment,
homosexual Leonardo da Vinci and all that stuff. That's all garbage. History's been rewritten and perverted. No, the real Renaissance came when God sent his word in the English language.
Think about being armed in the spirit of hearing this for the first time. This is just shocking. Even though our audience, I know you're all study, it's still shocking. It's comforting to know in all this chaos what's really going on.
People had a spiritual awakening at that time. Yes, it will reflect out of the flesh in ways. It will reflect out of the life. I mean, obviously America, probably from a comfort level and stuff, you know, came about and had a better way of life. But there was a spiritual awakening at the time when the word was brought out up against the Catholic Church. And it was a great war going on there.
Bill, let's talk a little bit about the Ark of the Lord. The Ark of Noah, I'm sorry, in terms of the actual events, Noah's, by faith, is building this Ark, and he's preaching this gospel to the people, and none will hear him. And we have the metaphors of the Ark being built and the how it was built and how Noah entered in. Would you like to expand on that?
Yeah, I did a little bit of writing on that today, and I just want to pull it up real quick. I'm just about there now. If I can, let's see.
Audience, this is a very important metaphor.
You know, it was by faith being warned of God of things not yet seen. Noah moved with fear. So all of this stuff he had not seen. Never heard of rain before. Don't know what rain is. Don't know what a flood's going to be. They didn't even eat meat at this time. It tells you in Genesis chapter 8 or 9 that they had to eat meat now because the conditions were so much more harsher after the flood to keep up their strength. And so for 120 years, he was a preacher of righteousness. That ark was sealed by pitch. That was the ceiling.
Pitch, right.
Yeah. And that ark rose above the whole world in the flood. That was the flood that come and took everybody. It was like Jesus said. He says the flood came and they knew not or whatever, and they were all took away. Well, today, it's the exact same thing. This flood out of the mouth of the dragon and the beast and the false prophet. The spiritual lies are flooded the whole world, you know. And you have to be above that flood. You have to be in the ceiling of God. Just as Noah was sealed in that ark. Otherwise, that flood's just going to sweep you away. So this is where he says, I'm from above and you're from below. You know, Noah was above all of that during that time. He was above all of that, sealed in the ark. And we are spiritually above all of that. And it's under our feet as we're sealed in the ark of Jesus Christ. But he didn't know things to come. He just had the faith. Noah moved by faith. That's what it's all about, really, is the faith down in your heart.
Do
you really believe, or do you think you believe, or do you want to believe, or what is the faith?
Right.
The faith is, that's what God's just going to judge, the grounds of your heart. And your covenant walk is going to come out of your faith. If you don't really believe, you're not going to have a covenant walk anyway.
You're not going to study this out. You're going to go to the cares of the world, and you're told that this is all idol worship. And you're not to be in idol worship. You're to be in covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ. The truth and the life.
It's in idol worship. What was the Samaritan? The Good Samaritan wasn't even in the church, was he? He was like an outsider, a heathen. And there's two parts cut off in that story. Is the priest and the Levite walked by. There's your two parts. They were in from the organized church religion right there. But the Good Samaritan who helped the man, he's the one that you'll find in the judgment of the sheep and the goats. The two goats that are judged that had no mercy upon their neighbor were the Levite and the priest. They're in Matthew 25, 42, and 43. Five things there that they had no mercy upon their brethren. That's what God's looking for, because you can't love God without loving your brother. It's impossible. It's totally impossible. They're one and the same. Even Paul said that in Galatians 5. So you can say you love God all day long, and if you don't love your brother, you don't love God.
Amen.
Amen. Chris?
Yeah, I'll tell you, we're... can I pick up at 28 now?
Sure.
Is that where we left
off?
Absolutely. Joel 2:28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens. And in those days I will pour out my spirit. All right. Well, I'm just very, very excited about this tonight, because I have been studying this thing for a long time, and I've just been really seeking the Lord to just open this thing up. I'm just really here. I'm really feeling, confident tonight to say that the Lord has absolutely, brought clarity to this piece of scripture. That is just another one of these verses that has been so lambasted and so twisted and distorted by what it's really saying. But there's so much going on here that it's just so exciting. And what we see here is it shall come to pass afterward. Now this is afterward. After this waking, this thing that's taking place, that we just described, the Lord will pour out his spirit. Now there's a lot going on here. I will pour, primitive root, to spill forth, blood, libation, to mound up, figuratively, to expend. I mean, we're seeing this poured, referring kind of like to the overflowing that we read in reference to the tribulation. Now, this is the Holy Spirit being poured out, but there's a lot you know, being pictured here as far as this is tied to the tribulation. It's the Holy Spirit that brings forth the truth out of my spirit. It's H3707, and the word is wind, a resemblance of breath that is sensible, exhalation, figurative, life, anger, unsubstantially. This is my spirit is referring to tribulation. It's referring to the truth. It's referring to God's Holy Spirit. But there's a lot going on here at one time, and it's being poured out upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. And your young men shall see visions. Now, these are God's people. These are the people that are, you know, this is also the same prophecy that Peter brings out in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit came down at Pentecost and when they were speaking in tongues and they had the fire on their, you know, the tongues of fire. But there's also something else going on here. Is this Spirit is poured out. It's also poured out upon the servants and the handmaids. This is another identity going on here. You know, we see God's people in verse 28. We see the sons and daughters, the elders, the old men and the young men receiving the Holy Spirit. And we're also seeing the bondservants. These are the husbandmen. These are the husbandmen and the vine dressers that we saw in Joel chapter 1 verse 11. For be ye ashamed, O ye husbandmen. Howl, O ye vine dressers, for the wheat and the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. These are the bad guys. This spirit, this Holy Spirit that's being poured out on God's people, and it's being poured out upon the apostate. It's happening right here in Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. Now we saw, what are we seeing here in Joel chapter 1? This is what he was referring to in verse 11. Be ye ashamed, O ye husbandmen. And what do we just read in chapter 20, in verse 26? And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. So these people in verse 29 are ashamed. These are the you know, the people referred to in verse 11. But in Joel 2:27, and you know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. So this spirit that is being poured out, it's also in Acts chapter 2, verse 2. Peter refers to it, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Well, this would have been Luke referring to that. You know, Peter was the one that prophesied later in the chapter. But it's a mighty rushing wind that is referred to as this Holy Spirit. I mean, this is the Lord pouring out his spirit, which does a lot of things at one time. It's the truth coming forth. It's waking up these people. And this is what took place, you know, in previous verses, as the Holy Spirit wakes up the slumbering multitude. But at the same time, the same Spirit comes upon the bondservants, the ones in bondage, the husbandmen. You know, these are the people that are out of covenant with the Lord.
So how do you, I'm not questioning this because I think that you're right, but I just want to get a little better grasp on this in 2:29. And also is big.
And also,
yeah.
Upon the servants
and handmaidens, there's two factions there. So you're saying that there's two factions
right
of
there.
Evil. Okay, and okay, I got it. Then the prior verse is the triune matrix that he pours it out on in verse 28.
And see, and these are the apostate. These are the people that are abusing. You know, this is all taking place right now. You know, there's people forcing all this right now out there in the, you know, apostate community, if you will.
Right.
You know, prophesying, coming up with these dreams and visions and all kinds of crazy things. And there's some truth in there. That's the thing.
True. You know, we've struggled over this for a long time. I think it was
sure did.
Sister Luann that had brought this up to our attention.
Yes.
Did we originally have them reversed when we first started studying this?
Well, we might have, but
it's become clear now. I know that you've done an enormous amount of work in this.
You can see clearly in Acts that this is the Holy Spirit coming upon.
No, I know that. I'm just thinking that when we originally started looking at this, we thought that maybe verse 29 were the good and verse 28 were the bad ones, but it's reversed.
And why am I making sure that this is clear? Because I'm going to just keep going right. Because what comes right? See, this transitions from 28. This is God's people. This is the multitude that are receiving the Holy Spirit in verse 28. Then 29, it goes to the apostate, and this is the tribulation happening now. 229, 230. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And then, and the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord. You know, this stuff shifts so fast. This is why this was so hard.
It's really
so tricky.
Hard. But you know, it's confirmed in Acts, Chris.
It's confirmed. Go ahead, Bill.
I see a different type of confirmation. Is he poured out the Holy Ghost there, and the second ones that come in verse 13 are the mockers.
The mockers.
They come. They come.
Right.
That's these men are
all these
are
identities are there. And then what confirms it the best is Joel chapter 2 verse 10. Just several verses before, the earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. So this is what we're seeing here as the Holy Spirit is poured out. In 28, it's God's remnant, God's people.
Because the mockers were there in with them. It says,
that's right.
And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this man? And others others mocking, saying these men. So they were all in there. But the Spirit was poured out first upon the good in that chapter. Right.
Yeah, the identities in 29 are definitely bad.
Yeah.
I've got that confirmed in my spirit, and is you see this here. They're ashamed. These are the ones that are ashamed. The husbandmen and the vine dressers that it talked about in chapter 1. This is who these are. That for the wheat and the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. And see, this is the dynamic that goes on. It's so amazing. It's so brilliant of the Lord, the way he uses his own people to carry out his work. And it's the lies, the apostasy, the deception is what actually, the wickedness is what actually does the separation, the threshing. And this is all described right here. The wheat and the barley being threshed out of the tares. Because this is the tares. Verse 29 is the tares that get the Spirit as well. Because they're showing signs and wonders that would deceive the very elect. If it were possible. This is all taking place right in here.
And it's another form that the Holy Spirit is given upon all flesh, where we're told in Matthew 12:31, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And that's the vilification of the Scriptures. That's the fulfillment of the Scriptures, and those that are not in covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ, they don't see this. They are the husbandmen and the servants. They are at
they
that fixed...
They killed the Savior. They killed the Son. Surely they won't kill my Son. They killed the prophets. You know what I'm talking about. I'm paraphrasing.
Your paraphrasing is perfect. That's exactly what's going on.
These two identities are clearly identified in Joel 2:31 and 2:32 also.
That's awesome.
The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord.
It's all talking about the same thing.
And then number 32 is the ones that's restored. And
Amen.
It shall come to pass that whoever shall call on the name of the Lord, just like Peter said in Acts, whoever called on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
And
my brothers.
the sun and the moon in the dark, and you know that's the sun. There's no gospel. The moon doesn't reflect the light. The stars have fallen from heaven. Those are the ones that are fallen away. That's in verse 31. You know, it's identified also in Matthew 24. He says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall have fallen from heaven. And the powers of...
See, this is so tricky. Yes. And what are we doing, guys? We're rightly dividing the word of truth. This is what we're doing. We're dividing out these identities. This is... I mean, this is like a slalom course, man. I'm telling you, this thing shifts back and forth so fast. And this is why this has been so hard. But praise the Lord, you know, he's definitely bringing it out right now. It's awesome.
So the ones that shine forward is the righteous. You know, there's a righteous sun, moon, and stars. I think it's a couple times. And there's sun, moon, and stars is seven times in the Bible. There's an unrighteous sun, moon, and stars, the one that's a fallen away gospel, no more reflection of the light, and the stars have fallen away. These are your number eight, the ones that have fallen into number eight. But there's also a righteous sun, moon, and stars in the text also.
And this is the proper rendering of Scripture, audience. This is exactly what's happening upon the face of the earth. And as we go through current events and try to rightly divide the word, from Genesis to Revelation, the story never changes. This is the parable of the sower. Always. Absolutely. The seed is there, and the tares come. And if you reflect back on the Noah's Ark, it'll be in the times of Noah. Well, Noah was preaching righteousness. He was preaching this gospel, and no one believed him. They were following the politicians, the governors, the stars, the people, famous people of their time. And they all missed this. They missed it so bad that the Lord wiped them out. They were so wicked. Now, in this generation, we see this wickedness is just not in covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, these apostates are claiming that they're good. This is, you know, beware when they call evil good. This is what's taking place right now, because we've got, you know, these guys, you know, just broadcasting Joel's army. And they're proud of it. They're proud of the fact that they're the locust army. They've got Todd Bentley has a tattoo of this identity on his chest. And it's because of the fallen church is so Bible illiterate. They're so, you know, out of, you know, studying to show themselves approved. And Satan's getting
away
with it.
It's the evilness coming out of them. Jesus said, he was referring to the vipers, but, you know, Todd Bentley and them are scorpions, but it's still the same.
It says,
how can you be evil, come speaking good things? For out of the abundance of the mouth comes your heart. What he's saying is, what's really inside you is coming out of your mouth. And, you know, it's what goes out of a man that defiles him. What goes into a man, what can go into your mouth? There's nothing that really can hurt you can go into your mouth. You have eyes, you see through your eyes, you hear through your ears, but your mouth, whatever goes in it, is just fleshly nourishment. You breathe air possibly through your mouth, or you're going to eat food. All it can do is kill the body. But what comes out of the mouth kills the soul. And he says, out of the abundance of the heart you speaketh, you know. And that's what they come as evil, speaking good things.
With flatteries.
With flatteries.
And they've corrupted the covenant. Smooth as butter. And that way the Gentiles are trampling on them. The heathen are ruling over them. This is what happens. But, you know, what more can confirmation?
The heathen are ruling over them, exactly, because they didn't keep the enemy under their foot.
They didn't have the power to tread on serpents and scorpions. So they serpents and scorpions are treading on them.
Well, yes, I agree 100%, Chris. He says, I'll give you the power. Remember, he says, remember in Acts chapter 2, he says, after you do all the repenting, you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
And what do you think is happening right here in Joel?
Let's receive the love of the truth, the gift of the Holy Ghost. They didn't receive that, and thus they were trampled down. They didn't receive that gift. It's a gift.
Yeah. That's what he's getting right here. It's being poured out. I will pour out my spirit.
Yeah.
This is what it is. He's giving you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions right here.
Right. That keeps
on his sons and daughters.
That keeps the enemy at bay. And what it does is it keeps your conscience from being seared.
Yeah. Oh, and getting turned over to a reprobate mind.
Yeah.
Psalms 11:6, upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. Ezekiel 7:16, but they that escape of them shall escape, and shall be on the mountains, like doves of the valleys, all of them mourning, every one for his iniquity. And this iniquity, audience, is perversity. This is the fault, their iniquity, their mischief, their punishment of sin.
Oh.
Now, this is the wrath of the Lord. It's as sobering as you can get. Because all of the analogies are telling of his great wrath. He is slow to anger. But his great wrath is upon the face of the earth. And as the apostate tries to put this in the flesh, they've missed all of it. They've missed all the plagues that are inhabiting the apostate church, to the point where the sun, our Lord Jesus Christ, is darkened. And the moon, the church, is turned to blood, dead.
Absolutely. They look at the shadow on the ground, it's dark, and they say that's the real entity.
Yeah.
The shadow puts, the shadow will cast a shadow of darkness on the ground. It's two-dimensional. And they're saying the shadow is real. They're saying the darkness is real. Even Jesus says they'll call darkness light. And I want to apologize for speaking over you there, Chris. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's fine.
I got anxious.
We're all just really excited. I mean, I'm so thrilled to get this out. And then, this is a verse that we've been over. Isaiah refers to it several times, but like 32:15-16, until the Spirit be poured out. Or it says, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And this is talking about we've been hanging our hat on this portion of Habakkuk all along, that you found this, weeks or whatever, a while ago now. Therefore, the law is slack, and judgment does never go forth. For the wicked does compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Behold, ye among the heathen, there's the heathen again, that are compassing around the righteous, and regard, and the wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. This is what we're seeing, all this right here. This Spirit being poured out, which is, and you can see the dual timeline here with what Peter said in Acts, as this whole thing capitulated then, and now it's recapitulating now in the end days. Because, Joel is, absolutely addressing the end times, and we see the wilderness, becoming the fruitful field at the time of Peter, because he was coming up against the religious system of the day, the apostate religious system, which is the exact thing, and that's what, when the Holy Spirit at Pentecost was poured out, the truth came against that religious, the religious beast, and this is the exact dynamic taking place right now, as the Spirit's being poured out from on high, and God is waking up his people, his remnant, his residue, that are being, trampled by the iron and, the iron and brass, this is the residue that are being ground down, and this is all taking place right now as they're being refined, and the fruitful field is in the wilderness where judgment dwells now, see? Because the Lord is doing his work, his strange work. And now judgment is dwelling in the wilderness. Righteousness is remaining in the fruitful field that is now in the wilderness. In other words, the harlot church is the forest. This is the where the judgment is coming. Huge metaphors with the forest. but the wilderness is the fruitful field. Now, judgment dwells in the wilderness. This is where the truth is. This is where people are getting saved. They're coming out of the church, and they're going to the wilderness, the metaphoric wilderness, which is the truth. This is where God's judgment is dwelling again. He's restoring his, his people. He's restoring Zion. This is Zion. You know, this is the land, and it's all metaphoric. It's all spiritual now, and it's all here for us, to apply to our lives. And as the Spirit is poured out upon you, you see the kingdom of God. Unless the man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This is all taking place right now in a huge way, because we're seeing this end time apostasy in full force, fully manifested, the falling away. The Lord, take heed that no man deceive you. This can't happen unless there's a falling away first. And this is the man of sin, the son of perdition, is revealed. And the man of sin, the son of perdition, is seated in the temple of God right now. The temple of God is the church. The temple of God is the spiritual body that has been corrupted with flatteries. They've forsaken their heritage, forsaken their covenant. As Israel. Israel are the people that are in covenant with God. And there's Israel, and there's apostate Israel. There's the remnant of Israel who once again takes root downward. And this is who we're talking about. And I'm telling you what, I'm just really thrilled we got this out tonight. And I just thank all the listeners. And with that, I'm going to say goodnight. And I appreciate you guys and all the support we get.
Brother Bill.
Yes, Chris did a lot of hard work on that, I know, and he really stuck with it this week. Gave me several phone calls. And
I want to thank Luann, too, so much.
Absolutely.
So helpful.
You see, we're learning from the listeners out there. This is how the body of Christ grows in Acts chapter 2. And they're all singleness of heart, and they broke bread together. And they did eat meat. That's the spiritual understanding of scriptures. They did eat their meat together in singleness of heart. And, you know, we've had so many blessed, by so many that have come in and joined and have been able to reveal to us what the Lord has been showing them. And that's a true blessing. That man of sin be revealed, that's when the tares turn black.
That's when the tares turn black. And hello, it's showtime.
And I'll hand it over to Bob.
The tares are running the show.
Yeah.
Audience, I can't... The scriptures reveal themselves. And just in the knowledge of the study of Joel, we find that the fleshly manifestations that are going on in the world are being reconciled by the Lord. And there's a wrath of God, and it's the tribulation, and it's called the Great Tribulation, such as not man has seen. And we can go directly to Scripture and recount this again. Joshua 1:9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, wheresoever thou goest. This is Bob Garrity for Chris Sardern and Bill Johnson. Good night.
Dust again. Oh God, pride of man. many waters, rich in treasure, wide in fame. You bow unto your God of gold, your pride of might shall be your shame.